Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. The general topic is the three different kinds of energies of Bhagawan. And we want to study first the material energy. That's what we're more familiar with. And based on what we distinguish about the material energy, we can then begin to understand the marginal and spiritual energies. It's been pointed out that there are two different aspects of material energy. The Jiva Maya and the Guna Maya. Guna Maya, not much is going to be said. It's the power that creates the material manifestation. The Jiva Maya is the potency that affects the consciousnesses of living entities and makes them think that this material manifestation is the reality. Okay, we're going to read about the Jiva Maya now. 17.6. We did 17.6? No. I don't think so, did we? We were up to it, but we didn't do it. Tadevam nimitam sho jiva maya upadanam sho guna mayet agre pi vivechaniyam. In this manner, the portion which is the efficient cause is the Jiva Maya, and the portion which is the ingredient cause is the Guna Maya. This distinction will be established later on. So we're familiar maybe with the terminology used in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Nimittamsha and Upadanamsha, the two parts of material energy. Well, it's the same thing as Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. Atayvam siddham jivamayakyam gunamayakyam dvitiyam api amsham drishtantena spashtayati. Now that the portion called jivamaya has been verified in the previous paragraphs, the second portion called gunamaya is elucidated with an analogy in the phrase yata tamaha, like darkness. The two analogies. One points to Jiva Maya, and the second, Yata Tamaha, points to the Guna Maya. Tamak Shabdenatra Purvoktam Tamak Prayam Varna Shavalyam Uchyate. Here the word darkness refers to the previously mentioned admixture of colors, which is not much more than darkness. That is, when very brilliant light reflected off an original source creates in the eyes of the viewers random colors. People are seeing spots before their eyes because their eyes are being blinded by the light. Varna shavalyam, the mixture of colors. So that's what's referred to here in the Chatuk Shloki verse, that, yes, Prabhu? No, I'm sorry. The Maya appears like Abhas and appears like Tamas. The Tamas is that the same in the other analogy as the spots before your eyes of different colors. Because though that admixture of light is not much more useful than darkness. Tadyata tanmula jyotishi asadapi tadashrayatvam vinana sambhavati tadvadi yamapiti. It is like this. Although darkness is not present in the light, which is its origin, okay, I mean, if there's, it's not in the light, darkness is outside the light, you know, you can't, if you're in the light, there's no darkness. So the darkness is not present in the light, which is its origin. It has no existence apart from being in that light's shelter. Viteritam napatieta can't be seen without its coming from the light, but is not actually in the light. Napatieta chatmani, it's not seen directly in the light. This energy is similar. This gunamaya energy. Atava, or alternatively, explaining it a different way, maya matra nirupana eva pritag drishtanta dvayam. Or, okay, these two examples both apply to the description of maya in general, without making this distinction of two different aspects of maya. Tamo tatra basha drishtanto vyakyata. Of these, the example of a reflection has already been explained. In other words, we're giving a second interpretation, but we don't have to change the interpretation of what the reflection means. But tamo drishtantascha yatandakaro jyotisho nyatraiva pratiyate jyotir vina napratiyate jyotir atmana chakshushaiva tat pratiter naprishtadineti tateyamapi ityevam gyeyam. As far as the example of darkness goes, just as darkness is perceived elsewhere than in the light, and it is not perceived without the light, since it is perceived by the eye, which is of the nature of light, and not by the back or other parts of the body. So also this energy should be understood. Okay. Yes, without the connection with the Supreme Person, his material energy cannot be perceived. Yato abhasas tinirodas cha yatos dhyajavasiyate. The material illusory manifestation, the abhasa, and the dissolution of it, asti adyavasiyate, only come into being, asti, only exist by their connection with their source, their cause, the samambonam, the ashraya. And also adyavasiyate, the material manifestations are only perceived by the potency of the personality of Godhead. So the material energy, as separate as it is from the Lord, has intimate connection with him, otherwise it can't exist and we can't perceive it. That's exemplified in the analogy of the darkness, which is seen by the eye. It only exists by its connection with light. It's a byproduct of light. Where there's darkness, there must have been some light. Light is the absence of the darkness is the absence of the light. So you must have a light that's not in this particular place. And how do we know light? Darkness. Darkness could exist, but if nobody had any perception of it, then it would be nothing useful to discuss. But we do perceive darkness. How can we perceive darkness if it's just an absence? And in fact, we perceive darkness by the power of sight that only works through the energy of light. The eye sees because light enters the eye. So by that jyotir atmana chakshushaiva, by the seeing organ, which operates on the basis of light, we're able to perceive the darkness. Similarly, we can know the maya by the spiritual potency of the Lord that inspires us, empowers us to see. and therefore we can see the material creation. Because we're alive by the power of the Lord's internal energy. Okay, tatas chamsha dvayam tu pravritti bedena iv ohyam natu drishtanta bedena. And in this case, in this different interpretation, the two portions of maya need not be inferred from the difference of their functions rather than from the difference of analogies. I'm sorry, I threw a not into that sentence. I negated it. Let me unnegate it and say it again. In this case, the two portions of maya need to be inferred from the difference of their functions rather than from the difference of analogies. So there are two different maya portions of maya, but in the second interpretation, they're not mentioned directly. The two examples are two examples about maya in general, but we can infer from the difference of function that there are such two different aspects of the energy. We can infer it anyway, even if it's not told to us directly. Okay, commentary. The two parts of maya, nimitta and upadana, will be carefully distinguished in the Paramatma Sandarbha, text 49 to 55. The admixture of colors that represents the upadanamsha has been mentioned before in text 16.8 and also 17.5. It is similar to almost complete darkness because in it things are not seen separately but only in a jumbled obscurity. Taking the alternative interpretation of the two analogies as both applying to maya in general, the comparison to a reflection can still be understood the same way as just explained. The second analogy can be explained differently by identifying tamas as the darkness of a shadow. When something casts a shadow, the shadow is necessarily located apart from the object's visible form, yet it exists only as an effect of the object. It is the eye, the perceiver of light, that recognizes darkness, not any of the other senses. Okay. Now, what was tamas meant to signify according to the first interpretation? Can we go back and look at that? Pratichabi. Really? Where is that? I don't see. I see Abhasa explained. Oh, yeah. Okay, it's right here in the first paragraph of 17.6. Tamak means that mixture of colors. But that's also an analogy. What does that mean, actually? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I lost track. It's very simple. Tama was referring to the Gunamaya. Okay. And now we reinterpret it. We're not going to talk about these two different aspects of maya, but tama will just mean darkness, the darkness of a shadow. Because maya in general is like that, to some extent. Okay, I think I have it. Let's look at the next paragraph. Prakshana drishtanta dvaida biprayena tu purvasya Abhasa paryaya chaya shabdena kvachit prayogaha. Still, it is according to the previous interpretation, the one that distinguished the gunamaya and the jivamaya, in according with to the previous interpretation of the dual examples, that the first of the portions of maya is sometimes referred to by the word chaya, shadow, which is equivalent to the idea of reflection, abhasa. So the scriptures sometimes use the word chaya to refer to the jivamaya. And the second one is referred to uttarasyas tamakshabdena aiva cheti. And the second one, the gunamaya, is referred to by the word darkness, tamas. Yata sasarja chayaya vidyam pancha parvanamagrata tamo moho maha mohas tamisro yanda sangyitaha. Okay, this is a verse from the third canto. Oh, where is it? Oh, I'm not in the... Okay, Hare Krishna. Third canto. Where's the... Oh, anyway. Yeah, Brahma created... the translation is... First of all, Brahma created from his shadow, his chaya, and that is actually the Jiva Maya. Because he's creating now the illusory coverings of the consciousness of the jivas, the coverings of ignorance of the conditioned souls, exactly what the verse says, or what the translation says. They are five in number, and they're called tamas, moha, maha moha, tamisra, and andatamisra. Okay. Yata. So that's only referring to the Jiva Maya there. The word tamas there is one of the manifestations of Jiva Maya, one of the five kinds of illusion that are imposed on the jivas. That's tamas being used in a different sense. But the tamas that is the second aspect of Maya, the guna Maya, is referred to in another verse. Yata cha quaham tamo mahadaham. Which is Brahma's prayers to Krishna in 10:14. It is also said, "Who am I, covered by the darkness, the mahat, and ego?" Purvatra vidya vidyakya nimitta shakti vritikatvad jiva vishayaktvena jiva mayatvam. In the first of these statements, the one about Brahma creating the five kinds of illusion, the portion is Jiva Maya, because it has its effects on the individual souls, comprising as it does the ignorance and knowledge functions of the energy of efficient causation. The Nimitta Karana, the Jiva Maya, has two aspects. You know, we're dividing the first aspect into two sub-aspects, vidya and avidya, avidya and vidya. What bewilders living entities and what gives them back their knowledge. Okay, ignorance and knowledge functions. Uttaratva sviya tat tad gunamaya mahad ad yubadana shakti vitikatvad gunamaya tvam. In the second statement, those words, kwaham tamo mahadaham, who am I, covered by the tama, the mahat, the ham, and so on. Tama is listed first. In the second statement, the portion is gunamaya, functioning as the energies of ingredient causation, the mahat, and subsequent elements derived each from each of the modes of this portion of maya. So the list, what Brahma lists here is there's more. It begins, tamo mahat aham. So first there's tama, from tama, which is the pradhan. That's the guna maya. Pradhan is also identified elsewhere. We read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's the upadana karana, the ingredient cause. So that's the guna maya. It's called tamas. From tamas comes mahat tattva. From mahat tattva comes false ego, and then all the other elements. That's what Brahma is listing. He's referring to the gunamaya. And he's using the term, the whole point is that the term chaya is used for jivamaya, and the term sometimes, and the term tamas is usually used to refer to the gunamaya. Okay. Tata sasarja iti adau chaya shakti maya avalambya Shrishtrarambe Brahma Swayam Avidyam Avir Bhavitavan Ityartaha. The words beginning Sasarja, that verse about Brahma creating illusion, beginning with the word Sasarja, he created, furthermore indicate that at the beginning of creation, Brahma acted personally to manifest ignorance by resorting to the shadow potency, Maya. So Brahma is participating, working with the Jiva Maya to create the living entity's illusion. That's his responsibility to do that. Ityuktatvat vidya vidye mamatanu vidyodhava sharirinam bonda mokshakari nitye mayaya me vinirmite ityuktatvat. This is in accord with the statement from the 11th canto, O Uddhava, both knowledge and ignorance, being products of Maya, are embodiments of my potency. Both knowledge and ignorance are beginningless and perpetually award liberation and bondage to embodied living beings. So Krishna is talking that they're created by his Maya. And he calls these two things vidya and avidya. He says they're my bodies, they're my embodiments. Well, that's, as identified just above, these are the two aspects of the Gunamaya. Right? No, of the Jivamaya. The Jivamaya is affected with knowledge, ignorance sometimes, and knowledge sometimes. These are the two sub-aspects of the Jivamaya. Ah. And that verse was supposed to be describing the Jivamaya. And this other statement from the 11th canto to Uddhava by Krishna also is referring to the Jivamaya in terms of its expanding into vidya and avidya. Okay, is that right? Yeah. All right. Commentary. The verse of the third canto cited here refers to Jivamaya as chaya, shadow, and describes its five kinds of influences on the consciousness of fallen jivas. The first is called tamas, using the word differently than as a synonym for gunamaya, or as the name of one of the gunas evolved from the gunamaya. That's also called tamoguna. This is tamas in a third sense. The five are defined in the Vishnu Purana, the five kinds of illusion that Brahma created, are actually defined in the Vishnu Purana. I don't know the exact verses right now. I don't know the verse numbers, but here's the verses. Tamo viveko mohaksyad antatkarana vibramaha maha mohas tuvigyeyo gramya boga sukhaishana maranam hyandatamisram tamisram krodha uchyate avidya pancha parvaisha Padubhuta Mahatmanaha. Okay, here they are. Tamas should be understood as loss of discrimination. Moha as misidentification by the mind. Mahamoha as desire for mundane pleasure. That's big delusion. Andatamisra as death. And tamisra as anger. This illusion in five divisions has expanded from the Supreme Soul. That's what the Vishnu Purana says. If we need further explanation, we have it. Well, let's see. If we get this right. Hold on. These are five kinds of avidya. Vidya is not, you know, vidya we have not looking at. We're looking at avidya, the one sub-portion called avidya, yes. These are the ways that living entities become bewildered, in these five ways. These are functions of avidya, which is a function of jivamaya. Jivamaya has bad effects, it also has positive effects under the category of vidya. Okay, now, these definitions are concise. They're further explained by Sridhar Swami. According to Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 3.12.2, the indiscrimination of tamas is specifically the forgetting of one's true identity. Moha is identifying oneself with one's body and other objects. The anger of tamisra arises when desire for mundane happiness is frustrated, and the death called marana is one's thinking, oh, I am dead. when his endeavors are spoiled. That's Sridharaswami's further explanation. The word tamas is used in the sense of gunamaya by Lord Brahma in his prayer to Krishna, where he equates gunamaya with its original form, the pradhan. Kwaham tamo mahadaham kacharagni varbu samveshtitanda gota sapta vitastikaya kvedig vidhavi ganitanda paranucharya vatadvaroma vivarasya tate chate mahitvam. What am I, a small creature, measuring seven spans of my own hand? I am enclosed in a pot-like universe composed of the pradhana, the mahatattva, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screened window. When at the beginning of a cycle of creation, the pradhan is agitated by the glance of Lord Mahavishnu, its modes are stirred up out of their equilibrium. And this form of gunamaya, with the three modes separately manifest, is called mahatattva. Under the control of time, different combinations of the three modes become prominent in the mahatattva, and it evolves into the various elements of creation. While engineering the nascent, that means in the process of being born, universe, Brahma imposed on the conditioned souls the bonds of jiva maya. So he's busy making the universe, you know, putting the universe together, and on the side he has to create the illusions for the living entities who are now inside the material creation. But as Krishna tells Uddhava in his instructions, recorded in the 11th canto, jiva maya is ultimately his own energy. Krishna's own energy. The powers of illusion and enlightenment are my embodiments. Okay, Brahma was passing out the illusions. He was distributing them. But he's just a mailman delivering. It's actually coming from Krishna. You want to blame somebody for your illusion, it's coming from Krishna. Okay. 17.8. Anayor avir bhava bedas chashruyate. We also hear from revealed scripture about the way the two of them make their appearances differently. Okay, two of what? Well, the next sentence clarifies that. We're talking still about the jivamaya and the gunamaya. I think that'll be clear in context. Tatra purvasya padme shri krishna satyabhama sambhadiya kartika mahatmye devagana krita maya stutau. Thus, in regard to the first portion of Maya, we find in the Padma Purana, in the glorification of Kartika month, in the glorification of the Kartika month, included in a conversation between Sri Krishna and Satyabhama, specifically in the narration of the praise of Maya spoken by the demigods that Krishna tells Satyabhama about. In that praise of Maya by the demigods, there are the verses beginning like this. That means there's these two verses and more, but the two verses are cited here. Iti stuvantas te devas tejo mandala. Okay, this is not part of the praise. This is what happens after the demigods are finished offering the praise to Maya. They worship Maya by praising him, and then iti stuvantas te devas tejo mandala samstitam dadvishur gagane tatra tejo vyapta digantaram tanmadhyad bharatim sarve sushuvur vyomacharinim ahameva trida binna tishtami trividai gunaihi ityadi. So it says, this is Padma Purana, while offering their praise, these demigods then soar. Well, if it's while and then, I mean, it means after offering their praise. I'm making changes in this file. Okay. After offering their praise, these demigods then soar before them in the sky, the form of a sphere of light, filling all the directions with radiance. From inside that form, they all heard a disembodied voice speaking transcendental words as follows. It is I only who became divided into three, and am present with the three different modes. So they got a vision, demigods at that point got a vision of Maya as the Jiva Maya. They saw her in person, and then also heard her say these words. Did I become divided into three? But this is Jiva Maya talking to the demigods and showing herself. And then, yeah. Well, Prakriti is one, but she does expand separately into these different forms. There's, you know, they're just like, you know, Shaktis divide, you know, expand themselves into sub-Shaktis and appear as different people.
So there are sub-predominating deities also.
Yeah, but they're not different jivas. They're different forms of the same Shakti. Shakti Tattva doesn't divide up into little pieces. Shakti Tattva is always infinite. But she may show different, just like Vishnu shows different forms, Shakti shows, his Shakti shows corresponding forms. This is material Shakti, so these are the different consorts of the different forms of Lord Shiva. But they're not separate Jivas. They're all the same person, because Shakti is one. Okay. Shakti is not finite. Okay. Now, as far as the Guna Maya, there's also an occasion when somebody saw her in person. Uttarasya padmotarakande asankyam prakritistanam nivida dvantam avyayam iti. In regard to the second portion of Maya, we have the statement of the Uttarakanda of the Padma Purana. Somebody's describing it, her, as it is the innumerable locus of primeval nature, an inexhaustible expanse of dense darkness. That's what, so Avyabhava Beda. The way the two of them make their appearance is differently, what each of them looks like. So Jiva Maya looks like a lot of light and can talk to you. And the Guna Maya looks very dark, a lot of darkness. Okay, so if you can recognize them if you see them. Commentary. The two fractions of material nature, Jiva Maya and Guna Maya, are subtler than most creatures' power of perception. Ordinary eyes cannot begin to see them. But on rare occasions, great sages and demigods are granted some revelation of them. As described in one passage of the Padma Purana, the demigods once obtained a vision of Jiva Maya as a radiant sphere in the sky which refrained from displaying her form but spoke to them. In another passage, Guna Maya is described as dark and formless. Actually, as a Shakti, they are persons. They do have forms, but those forms are not revealed even to sages and demigods. Right. Now we are done with 17, we move into 18. Which will begin to discuss the spiritual energy, the Antaranga Shakti, Swarupa Shakti. Ata Swarupa Bhutakyam Antarangam Shaktim Sarvasyapi Pravrityanyata Nupapatya Tavad Ahadvabhyam. Now the internal energy, known as belonging to the Supreme's essential being, is described in two verses. This is done by the logic of presuming something because without it being so, a given fact cannot be explained. If the Maya Shakti, in her two aspects, is imperceivable, even the demigods and the great sages can only get a vague, sometimes a vague revelation, and not even see the personal form. What to speak of how difficult it would be for anybody in this world to understand or perceive the internal energy, which is more subtle, much more subtle than the material Maya. So, the scripture, to help us start to understand, uses the logic that something must be exist and it must be a certain way, because what we do see can't be true otherwise. This is the Devadatta logic. Devadatta is fat. We see him during the day. He works in our office and he never eats anything. He doesn't go to lunch, doesn't take a snack, doesn't drink any coffee. But he's fat. He must be eating a lot when he goes home at night. He must be eating at night. Although we don't see him, we never go home with him, we never visit his house, but he must eat a lot at home. That's the presumption, by the fact that what we see can't be proved, can't be explained otherwise, unless we make some certain presumption. Called anyata anupapati. Otherwise it doesn't make sense. Anyata anupapati. Otherwise the given facts don't make sense unless we presume such and such. So unless we presume such and such about the spiritual energy, which we can't see and can't understand, but we have to presume something about her, because otherwise what we do see doesn't make sense. That's the logic, and that's presented in these two verses. Yanna sprishanti navavidur mano bud indri asavaha antar bahischa vitatam vyoma vatatnuptosmyaham Dehindriya prana mano diyo mi yadamsha vidha pacharanti karmasu naivanyadha. Oops, I just messed up the format. Hold on a second, I lost my place. There it is. Naivanyadha loham iva pratuptam staneshu tadrashtri drashtyapadesham eti. This is from the 6th canto, 16th chapter. Who could be speaking there? 16th chapter, the 6th canto. Daksha? He's earlier in the 6th canto. Well, let's see. Maybe Daksha again. Chitraketu sounds like him. 16, I think, has to do with Vitrasura. This may be Vitrasura, as the demon Vitrasura speaking to Indra during the fight. Okay. Translation of those two verses. This is Vitrasura talking. I bow down to that which the mind, intelligence, and senses cannot touch or know, and which, like the sun, expands everywhere, within and without. The body, senses, mind, and intelligence, penetrated by a fractional part of this Supreme, proceed in their respective functions. When at other times there is no such contact, they become inactive, like iron that has not been exposed to fire. Thus it is the Supreme who becomes known as the seer. Okay, so he's giving that argument that we do know that the senses are active, and sometimes they're not active. They couldn't be active unless there was a supreme intelligence giving them, enlivening them to act. And when he's not in direct contact with them, then they stop acting. So only that presumption can explain what we see about the body and senses being active and sometimes not active. Okay, here is the commentary, Sridhar Swami's commentary. Tika cha. Jiva Goswami is quoting Sridhar Swami so often that he just says tika, and we have to assume that Sridhar Swami's tika. Sometimes he just says iti saha, he says, and we have to assume he means Sridhar Swami. So the Tika says, Yad Brahma Vyoma Vad Vitatam. This is the verse being glossed. Vyoma Vad Vitatam. Api Asavaha Prana Priyashaktya Nasvishanti. Mana Adini Cha Jnana Shaktya Naviduhu. Tad Brahma Natosmi. Here is the commentary. I bow down to that Brahma, which although it is expansive like the sky, the airs, the vital airs of the body, cannot touch by the potency of activity, and the mind and so on cannot know by the potency of knowledge. So the pranas have energy. They have energy of motility, movement. That's what they do. They make movement in the body. The pranas stimulate all kinds of muscular, digestive, respiratory, all kinds of movement are impelled by prana. Prana is the principle of movement in the body. Vayu in the universe, in general, is the principle of movement. The same way as fire is the principle of transformation. But the principle of moving from one place to the other, that's dominated by wind, by vayu. So vayu in the body, the prana, has that potency. And the senses are in part, although they're not actually alive, they get the reflection of consciousness in them. So they have a potency of knowing imparted upon them. But still, that prana and those senses, even with all the potency they have, they cannot know, they cannot touch by their activity or by their knowledge. They're inadequate. Whatever potency they have is inadequate to actually know or contact the Supreme Brahman. I'm getting an echo. Probably turned up too high. Okay. Tesham tad agane hetum aha. Why they cannot know Brahman is stated in the verse, the second verse, Dehendra pranamano diyo mi. And Shira Swami explains it, Dehendriyadayo mi yadamsha vidha yachetanyamshena vishta santak karmasu swaswa vishayeshu pracharanti jagat swapnayor anyada susupti murch adao naiva pracharanti. Penetrated by, this is why they cannot know, why the senses and the mind cannot know Brahman, or the prana and the senses and mind cannot know Brahman. Penetrated by that Brahman's portions, amshas, the amshas of Brahman, taken over by its partial expansions of living consciousness, well, those are the jivas, they proceed, the mind, the prana, the senses, and the mind proceed in their activities, each in their respective objects of perception. But at other times than waking and dreaming, that is, in deep sleep and in fainting and so on, such states, they are not active, the mind, senses, prana, as iron cannot burn unless it is first exposed to fire. Yata apratuptam loham nadahati. Ato yata loham agni shaktyayva dahakam sadagnim nadahati evam brahmagata jnana kriya shakti bhyam pravartamana dehadayastannas pushanti navidus cheti bhavaha ityesha. As thus, when iron becomes capable of burning by the potency of fire, it still cannot burn the fire. So similarly, the body and its parts, set into action by the potencies of knowledge and activity belonging to Brahman, cannot affect Brahman, nor can they know it. They can't do anything to Brahman, and they can't know Brahman. The prana, the mind, the senses. Okay. What are we proving here? Well, that Brahman has the energies that empower the mind, senses, the prana to do their work, to be active and to know. That ability to act and the ability to know must come from the potencies, the personal potencies of Brahman. That's the antaranga shakti. Material energy is just the external apparatus, but the real potency is coming from the antaranga shakti. Okay, commentary. Having identified the Supreme's external energy and its main components, now his internal energy is going to be described in texts 18 to 22. We're on 18 now. Art anyata anupapati, literally inexplicability otherwise, is a logical procedure for establishing something as true even when it cannot be perceived directly or inferred by simple deduction. All day, every day, Devadatta doesn't eat anything, but we see him becoming fat. We have to presume, therefore, that he must be eating when he goes home at night. Or the mind, intelligence, and senses are active and appear alive, even though they are inert matter. We have to presume, therefore, that an active living force is moving them. Living beings possess two kinds of senses, gyanendriyas and karmendriyas, which are the senses of perception, sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell, and the senses of action, dexterity, mobility, speech, evacuation, and procreation. Brahman, the ultimate reality, is the source of all existence, including life. But Brahman himself has no interest in material entanglement. He enjoys freely in his own realm. His fractional parts, the finite jivas, are the ones who want to take charge of bodies with material senses. When occupied by a living soul, a material body is active. The body's various senses each interact with their proper objects. Thus, while a person may be experiencing all at once the sight, touch, and smell of an object, each of the different modes of perception is being conveyed to him through only one sense, and cannot in any normal way be accessed by his other senses. Okay, that's it. 18.1. Let's see how big 18 is. Three parts. It's a relatively short one. Three parts to Anucheda 18. We'll continue. Tomorrow's Saturday, day off. We'll continue on Sunday. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Go ahead. I have to use the machine now.
Conscious, especially in the Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna says in the 13th chapter that the symptom of the soul is its consciousness.
Yes.
And the soul stays at one place in the center of the heart. But its consciousness spreads throughout the body, in all the senses, mind, etc. So if we considered soul's consciousness to be pervading all these things like body, mind, senses, etc., soul is marginal potency.
Yes.
But here Jiva Goswami is trying to say that it's the internal potency which is pervading mind, intelligence, etc. So how to reconcile these two apparently opposite things?
Is a subcategory of spiritual energy. He is spiritual.
Okay.
There's a basic division between life and inert, matter.
Yes.
Jiva is in the category of life, but he's considered a separate category because he's infinitesimal.
Okay.
Whereas the spiritual energies are infinite.
Okay.
But he still can be considered a spiritual energy.
So now here the Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. It's said that
because it's not only the jiva. See,
The jiva by himself cannot give life to the body without the super soul also.
Oh, so okay. The
spiritual entity has to act directly also. Mm. You know, the jiva soul has to be supported by the spiritual entity in order to run.
He has to be supported by the internal potency.
Yes, the internal potency is acting directly.
Okay.
And also acting as represented by the jiva.
Okay. Uh-huh.